This is the Adam Gold Show.
Let's find out if Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick Six podcast moderator, and a fantastic partner in a media day golf outing, which we ended up finishing second in, which is a loss. First losers, that's what we are, Will Brinson. How are you, my friend?
I think he's grabbing water.
Uh-oh, Will's getting water.
Yep.
Well, that's...
I see his background, but...
You see the background?
He's MIA right now.
Oh, my gosh. Will, get back here. I can't do that open again. I can't do that intro again. What a train wreck of a program this was today. This has been today.
Well, you weren't here for Monday, so we had to redo Monday for you.
I wasn't here yesterday.
Yes.
No, that's you.
That's me.
That's you. I wasn't here yesterday, and then and today there's too many things going on at the same time. And again, men can't multitask. We have to simply accept that. So we'll talk about the Panthers' offense and everything else going that isn't going on with the Panthers. All right, Will, are you there? There he is.
Oh, I'm here.
There you go. All right. Look, the Panthers are averaging 16 points a game on offense. So you have been watching the National Football League for a long time. I can't recall an offense that looked this inept. Am I wrong? Or, I mean, it's certainly got to be one of the top worst offenses in the last 20 years.
Probably not even as bad as the Panthers 2011 offense with Jimmy Clausen, but it's definitely very bad.
I have to go look at that now.
I mean, I think, you know, you and I talked about this yesterday in our pre-production meeting. Was a lengthy pre-production.
It was 5 hours.
Yeah, five and a half.
Closer to six is right.
I think that you said it. The Panthers are the most unwatchable team in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
That's not, like, that's a really, like, the Lions are 1-3. And they don't look like a team that's going to win, you know, 10 games. But they're watchable as hell.
You know why? Because they have one of the best offenses in the game. They're putting up over 400 yards a game. I'd be okay being 0-4 if the Panthers could make you go, hey, that was fun on offense. But they can't.
Absolutely. And in fact, I think you could make the argument that David Tepper might be fine with it too. If you're scoring points and you're staying close, you're keeping games close, and the team is enjoyable, and you've got clear stars that are developing at the wide receiver and running back positions. And, you know, and look, Detroit has a great offensive line, by the way. They built that thing through the first round. Carolina does not have a great offensive line. But there's just nothing enjoyable about watching Carolina play. Baker Mayfield, have you talked about Stephen A. Smith's rant yet? Have you seen that?
I have not seen the rant about I've seen where he shouts out North Carolina cities. I love that. That was,
yeah, right.
That
part just, was great. Just, he's like, trust me, I know North Carolina. Cartersville.
I mean, anybody can. He's got a, what was the presidential candidate who's like, we're going at Cleveland. We're going, whatever. It doesn't matter.
No, no, but Stephen A. worked in Ashboro back in the day.
Yeah, as a Winston-Salem State grad. So yeah. he's familiar
he
with
North Carolina.
Yeah, he's familiar with the surroundings.
I found it amusing. But the point being is that he was telling Baker Mayfield, like, your career is in jeopardy. And I don't think he's wrong. I don't know that it's entirely Baker's fault. I think it's a fault of, like, you know, I just think it's not there's only one way that ownership, I mean, look, the problem probably starts higher than the guy who's in charge thinks it does.
Yes.
And that's a why don't you need to grab a mirror and take a nice hard look situation.
Matt Rhule's not good at this, right?
Matt Rhule.
We can understand that. Matt Rhule's not good at this. Like, I'm not slamming Ben McAdoo. They don't have great personnel. The offensive line hasn't worked out.
I was talking about David Tepper, not Matt
Rhule. No. It is a David Tepper problem. I don't think David Tepper is going to fire Matt Rhule next week or the week after or the weekend. I really don't. I don't see what is, unless you have a coach on staff that you think could be your next head coach, and I'm pretty sure that they don't. I can't see why you would do that. How would it make it better How would it free these guys up? I guess you can name Ben McAdoo the interim head coach, but all you'd be doing is satisfying your fans.
Which, isn't like a Wisconsin Jim Leonard thing where you're trying to fire Paul Chryst to get ahead of the curve and grab Jim Leonard and give him an audition. Like, you're not thinking we fire Matt Rhule so I can pay him for the next 3 years while Ben McAdoo gets a 13-game audition.
And when Ben McAdoo was the head coach for the Giants with a better team, right? Wasn't he the coach after Tom Coughlin left? Right.
He was the guy who went to the they went to the playoffs and they had the boat situation with Odell and all the receivers in the boat, and then they got blown out by Green Bay, and then they never recovered, and then he got fired.
So like,
and he bit Eli Manning. He broke up Eli Manning's consecutive start streak for Geno Smith, which in hindsight he wasn't wrong about.
I got beat by Geno Smith in fantasy football the other day, which is fine because my team's terrible. So I don't see them firing David Tepper. I'd rather fire, well, maybe. I see the fans firing David Tepper. I don't see Tepper firing Matt Rhule until we get well into the season. And unless they're 1-11.
Well, that's well into the season, I think. I think 1-7 might get it done.
Yeah, but again, I just don't see what the point is at that point.
There's no point. It's just David Tepper likes to fire people.
Well, I don't disagree with that. He's not fired us yet. I say yet.
Can he fire us?
No, but I did hear.
If he could fire us, then I'm in trouble.
I did hear that Matt Rhule said when he was asked if he thought about making a quarterback change, he basically said, today. So it was after the game. So part of me, my bells and whistles go off like, wait, Matt might be thinking about making a quarterback change.
He was asked about it. He said, Sam's, yes. Obviously not available. It's like, okay. What?
Well, Sam is not available yet, I guess, right?
No, he's not. Like,
I don't even remember. It's been so long since I've seen Sam Darnold. He's hurt. I was talking about it as though he was an option the other day. It's P.J. Walker is your option at quarterback. So they're definitely not making a change at quarterback. Baker's a problem. Only that he's not as good as we all want him to be. But Baker's not the problem. The problem is everything else.
Yeah.
The problem is that they don't have a good enough offensive line, and it's just not there yet.
Carson Wentz and Matthew Stafford would not be having great seasons with this Panthers team.
No, well Carson...
Wentz would be a slight upgrade over Baker, maybe?
It would be a bigger upgrade. He would simply be physically bigger. Right? Yes.
Physically, he would not throw as many passes batted down. Stafford would be an obvious upgrade, but he didn't want to play here. And there's part of the reason is why. Like, look at who they got at quarterback in these trades. Sam Darnold was literally the last musical chair in the quarterback that year. Baker Mayfield got traded like 2 weeks before the season because he was the last musical chair this past year. They have been the losers. They are the last landing spot for quarterbacks in trades that no one else wants because they know what's going to happen. That's the Panthers.
Will Brinson is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com. Moderator, Pick Six Podcast, the only or the best, maybe that's the case in both, the best daily NFL podcast.
Nearly award-winning NFL podcast. I think we finished in second place in the People's Choice Podcast Awards, which, while disappointing, spared me a tattoo, so I'll take it.
Well, that's good. Who'd you lose to?
Another CBS podcast, Morning Combat.
What?
I think it's a daily MMA podcast.
My gosh. All right. Well, you still won. Yeah, you're still in first place in my book.
So no tattoo is a win, I'll tell you that much.
All right, are the Bills still the best team in the league?
I mean, you can make the argument for it. I think I would probably take the Chiefs right now, but it's probably a 1A, 1B situation. I just think Kansas City looks a little more consistent on offense. Certainly the Bills have maybe a little more explosion. That offensive line for KC looks like it could be really, really dominant. The Bills – defense better. So, I mean, yeah, I think when you look at the NFL right now, it's 1A, 1B with Kansas City and Buffalo. It's just really how you pick how you want to rank them. But I have no problem with Buffalo being called the best team in the league.
Yeah, I've seen the Chiefs. I love the Chiefs. I think the Bills have a better defense than the Chiefs, although I'm not knocking the Chiefs at all. By the way, they got hosed in that the Chris Jones roughing the passer call that aided the loss to the Colts. That was just a horrendous call.
Well, the Bills got the reverse, right? They benefited from a roughing the passer call where they got 15 free yards in that final drive where they took the lead over the Ravens.
Oh, that is also true. But I felt like they would have gotten there anyway. what is it about the Ravens and Leeds that are toxic?
So the Ravens were 103 in games where they had a 17-point lead coming into the season in the history of their franchise, dating back to 1996. They are 0-2 in games this season where they had 17-point leads, which is really hard to do. I mean, you know, to blow a 17-point lead like that when you're an elite team with an elite offense. And it really boils down to their secondary. You know, they just don't have they don't have all the players they need on the back end right now. And they don't have the pass rush to help. So, like, you see it all the time where a good secondary can make up for a questionable pass rush or a questionable pass rush. I mean, a good pass rush can make up for a questionable secondary, right? You know, you can, you look at the 07, I think it's the 07, maybe the 11 Giants, maybe both qualify, but, you know, they had such good pass rushes that it made the secondary look good. I think the Panthers probably qualified for that in 2015, too. But the Ravens have neither. And so when you have neither a pass rush nor a strong secondary. They got Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters to play back there, but they can't stop anybody on defense. And so they sort of need to adjust how they play on offense. And I don't think they figured that out yet, where they need to realize that they have to be foot on the gas 24/7. Now, credit to John Harbaugh. You know, I probably kick and take the field goal, but I think he understood, we're probably not winning this game with field goals when he went for it down there on 4th and 2. You can't throw the interception and give him 18 free yards. But generally speaking, I think you're going to see the Ravens be really aggressive on offense when it comes to try to continue to score points, knowing that right now the defense just isn't going to help them out.
I 100% agree with you. I thought it was the right decision to go for the touchdown there. I also think that I'm not sure that the Ravens have much other than Lamar. And
Rashad Bateman and Devin DuVernay have looked really good.
The receivers are fine in terms of the run game.
Yeah, it was considered like, and J.K. Dobbins looked really good, I thought, against Buffalo too. The receivers, remember, were considered they have no receivers. And now all of a sudden they might have Mark Andrews at tight end. He could be the best tight end in football. If not, he's one of the two best. Or three best at least. And then if you have Bateman turning into a one and DuVernay turning into a two, all of a sudden this is just a team with a loaded offense, but the problem is on the other side of the football.
Yes. There's no question the problem is on the other side of the football. I don't see the Ravens being able to grind games out because you don't want Lamar running between the tackles. Like they got down to the red zone and the running game really just couldn't really do it for them because their running game is so predicated on Lamar.
They need Ronnie Stanley back pretty bad.
Yeah, that whoever the guy is they're missing, it just doesn't seem like they could get those.
Well, Stanley's one of the elite run blocking left tackles. And so I think if he gets back and he gets healthy, he almost came back this past week, so he should be back this week or at least week 6 at the latest. I think you could see that running game maybe take off a little bit. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they are explosive, but maybe not efficient down in the red zone right now. And that's going to be a problem moving forward for sure.
All right. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick 6 podcast moderator. A couple of things before we let you go. The first, I know Jerry Jones said today or yesterday that Dak's coming back. I could see him playing this week, but he's still having a problem gripping the football. Can I just remind Jarrah that they haven't lost with Cooper Rush at quarterback? So I don't know. Maybe let Cooper Rush play until Dak's 100% healthy and then go back to Dak. Is that crazy?
No, I've been saying that for 2 weeks. And it's like, do you not remember what happened with Russell Wilson last year? He came back, he rushed back from a similar injury with his throwing hand, and he came back. It was like a bone or a ligament, and he came back and he couldn't grip, and they scored 0 points against the Packers. It was a game where Geno Smith probably wasn't going to win, but give him a chance. And And, you know, Russ struggled the rest of the year, and they didn't look good offensively. So I think if you play Cooper Rush until – I don't see play him until you lose a game, but keep playing him until – like, if he goes 2-1 the next 3 weeks, just let Dak heal. Let Dak get healthy. Let Dak get, rested. Like, get his hand right because, you know, Brady Quinn always says this on the Pick Six podcast, YouTube daily podcast.
Absolutely.
YouTube. But he always points out, it's like, and I mean, it is true. Like I pointed out too, it's like, if you have an injury like that, you're going to, if you're not healthy and you're not recovered fully, you're going to overcompensate with other stuff. And that's how, like, maybe you don't feel like you can use your hand to spin the ball correctly. So, you know, you're forcing it. I mean, like, that's how you tear a shoulder, or like, you know, you're holding the ball longer in the pocket because you're worried you won't be able to like get the ball out as quickly as you need. And so you take a huge hit to the side or something. You know, there's just all different ways that these things cascade. And so it's so stupid to try to rush him back, especially when you're winning games.
Yeah. And it to me, it would be an ego that would put Dak Prescott back on the field before he is fully ready, whether it's his ego or Jerry Jones, just like let Cooper Rush go. No, I do know that Dallas is trying to stay near Philly, and Philly is right now 4-0. I think they're the only undefeated team in the league. And Dallas is playing at the Rams, so it just leads me to this. Are the Rams in trouble?
Yeah, I mean, yes. Now, it's week four. Or you know, it was week five, I guess now, and so you don't want to bury a team that's 2-2 and tied for first in this division.
Right.
But yeah, they've looked bad against elite defenses who can generate pressure. That offensive line is a major problem, and Sean McVay is going to have to get into the lab and figure out what he wants to do with this offensive line and how he wants to use it to, you know, whatever he needs to do in order to mitigate the pressure that Matthew Stafford's getting, because he leads the NFL in interceptions. No surprise. I mean, that's sort of part of his game. He led the NFL interceptions last year. He's an aggressive thrower. He's not afraid to throw in a tight window. Sometimes he makes a bad play, like last night with the pick six. But more importantly for me, he's tied for second in terms of sacks taken. And so, like, that's the worry for me, is if he's getting pressured, those turnovers are going to get cranked up. And the other thing is Allen Robinson. You know, we saw it in the Super Bowl when Odell Beckham went down. They didn't have a secondary weapon next to Cooper Kupp, and they really struggled offensively. And now Allen Robinson can't get going. And all they have is Cooper Kupp and Tyler Higbee, and there's something's missing from that offense. So they need to figure out how to implement Allen Robinson and get him on the same page as McVay and Matthew Stafford, obviously. And then also, you know, what are you going to do on the offensive line? The team's not, they're in trouble, but they're not writing them off or anything like that, just because that NFC West division looks like it could be, I mean, anybody's game at this point, to be perfectly honest.
No question. I think the best
Seattle's
team...
Seattle's live to win that division, by the way.
Seattle's not good.
The 49ers have Jimmy G, and Kyle loves to kick... I mean, the 49ers are not, like... They look great on Monday night, but they're not that dominant. The Rams clearly have issues. And if you want to back the Cardinals, be my guest.
No, I don't.
Geno Smith's the first quarterback... He has the highest completion percentage for a quarterback in his first four games of the season in NFL history.
Yes.
Like, the Seahawks are live, man.
Okay. I think the 49ers are still the best team in that division, even though I think they're three quarters of a football team. I think their defense is great. I think the 49ers occasionally are good offensively and occasionally are trash offensively. They happen to lose a game 11-10 because Jimmy G dropped back out of the end zone into a safety. I think Jimmy will be okay. I think we'll see the same version of Jimmy we have seen over the last 3 years. If he can stay healthy, which is the real big if, then I think the 49ers will win that division, because I think the rest of that team and the coaching is good enough to make up for it. I don't think they'll have much of a problem this week.
I had the 49ers winning the division before the season. And look, I mean, part of it was, hey, maybe the Trey Lance, like, I think Trey Lance is going to be awesome, but if it doesn't work, they've still got Jimmy G. And that's a pretty good fallback to have. Like, they would be in real trouble if they didn't have Jimmy Garoppolo in there. And yeah, he looked like crap 2 weeks ago. He's going to have up and down games. Like, all quarterbacks do. Jimmy Garoppolo is just like a lightning rod for him for some reason. Like, when he has a bad game, it's like freak out city. I do think that one of the things we saw on Monday night was Kyle Shanahan just making life easier for Jimmy G. You know,
get the, you know, granted, the touchdown pass to Deebo Samuel that he threw high, you know, I was like, did he mean to throw that high? It's like, probably not. He probably did not mean to sail that high out of the way of the defender, but if he did, kudos to him. And then he had the little one-yard screen pass to Deebo, you know, just all kinds of things that you can do. Like, that offense makes life easy for quarterbacks. And yes. So Jimmy G knows where to go with the ball. He's going to be able to distribute. They're going to win their fair share of games. I would bet them to win the division right now if I were betting anything on that. I picked them to win the division before the season, like I said, and I think they are the best team. But I do think Seattle is live. I think all four of those teams are live in that division.
Well, I mean, if the division's going to be won at 9-8, then yes, anybody can win it except Arizona because we know they're not going to get
it. If Seattle wins the division, I'll be reminding you of it for several weeks.
Okay. I hope there's a ticket on that. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick Six podcast moderator. I saw one ranking had the Eagles as the best team in the NFL. They are 4-0. I think they might be the best team in the NFC, but I don't think they're better than the best teams in the AFC. Other than the fact that Jalen Hurts has become, I will say, a better version of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, I mean, Jimmy G can't run like that.
Well, but I don't look at Jalen Hurts as being anything other than he's a very solid quarterback, but the running element is what, or maybe the better way to put it is that he's a poor man's Josh Allen.
Yeah, I think that works. You know, he's improved his accuracy. He doesn't have nearly the arm strength of Josh Allen,
right,
obviously, but he's improved his accuracy. And maybe that's what makes him a poor man, Josh Allen. I mean, as a runner, he is a load, man. Like he doesn't look. You don't think he's as strong and as thick as he is. Maybe the comp is like a better running Donovan McNabb. I don't know. Like the size kind of reminds me of McNabb a little bit. The Eagles, obviously, you know, the comp there works. But I mean, I don't know. I think the Allen thing is kind of accurate because he's so dangerous in the red zone, You know, he's not like super speedy, but he's you know, he's plenty fast enough. Mm-hmm. And when he gets rolling, he can, you know, he's got great rushing moves. He sees the field really well. And I think like my whole premise of putting the Eagles in the Super Bowl before the season was Jalen Hurts just has to take a small step forward. And if he does that, the depth on the offensive line, the depth on the defensive line, the talent at the skill positions will allow this Eagles team to be, you know, and plus I didn't think the division would be very good. It's been better than I thought through 4 weeks, but you know, I mean, both the Cowboys and the Giants can be paper tigers. But, like, you know, all those things happen. And Hurts made a much bigger step as a passer than I anticipated. So, I agree with you. I think the Eagles are the best team in the NFC. They're probably number three. Like, if I'm Eagles-Ravens, I'm probably taking Eagles. That'd be a fun – my Super Bowl would be a fun Super Bowl to watch, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, total shootout. But, yeah, I think if it were – you know, Bills or Chiefs versus Eagles in the Super Bowl, the Bills and Chiefs are 5-point favorites, more than likely.
All right, final thing. The Dolphins, I don't even know who fired the doctor who cleared Tua. Doesn't matter to me who fired the doctor who cleared Tua to go back in the game against Buffalo. By the way, Tua Tagovailoa was ruled out for Miami's game against the Jets coming up on Sunday. But
very noble of them.
Yes. Did it take a medical expert, though, to know that Tua shouldn't have played? And have we no. basically just scapegoated the doctor
yes.
to cover every? And I have such a problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, like what it took to figure that out was two eyeballs.
Right.
Maybe one. Or like none. I mean, maybe you could have done it like through the, like some sort of, I don't know, descriptive manner.
A kaleidoscope. Remember those kaleidoscopes you'd get? Like you just shake it and you're looking through it and it's like 4 billion colors and you don't know what you're watching? Yes. Through that, we could have seen the Tua shouldn't have come back.
Or somebody could have just told you, like, just said on air, like, Tua's walking on the field like Brinson on Sunday morning in Clemson, you know? Like, like people were like, oh, like, get him out of the game immediately. Like, this guy has, like, head trauma. You know, I think that the neurologist thing is definitely a scapegoat move. I think to me what happened is the NFL got too comfortable with its protocols and its policies. And in the sense that, like, it used to be if you were even remotely close to being, like, if you look concussed, you would be in the protocol, and you probably weren't playing the next week. Like, it would be a shock
right.
to somebody who went in the concussion protocol played the next week. I think the NFL had done a pretty good job of it for a while and maybe got too lax, or like, and then some teams felt like they could push the envelope. Or, you know, the other thing too is like, you don't necessarily test positive for a concussion if you have a concussion all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the problem with that independent, you know, the way it is. It's just, it's a gray area. It's not a, literally it's a gray area. It's your brain. It's not a black and white situation oftentimes when you're going through these protocols. And so it can be a situation where, you know, Tua had a concussion, didn't test positive for a concussion, and the Dolphins, in a game they really wanted to win, brought him back out there.
Right.
And it, so it's like a, it's not like a, there's no one person to blame. It's just that clearly the Dolphins, who, by the way, have been involved in like 15 scandals over the last three or five, 4 years.
Been a rough go.
I mean, just stop getting involved in scandals. Like they, you know, it's, to me, it seems somebody needs to step in from the Dolphins or from the medical staff, the training staff, the coaching staff, the front office. I mean, the owner's suspended, so he can't step in.
Right.
Somebody needs to step in and say, hey, look, he can't play this week. You know, like this game is in 4 days. You know, you're watching the tape, man. Everybody's watching the tape. I don't think there's anything nefarious on the half of Mike McDaniel or anybody like that. But I do think something, you know, the NFL does need to adjust these protocols now that, you know, it's like when something like this can slip through the cracks, it needs to change.
Will Brinson, as you said, they just needed one eye to know that he should not have gone back onto the field at any point. In that game, and I don't know that Sunday begat Thursday, but Thursday, I'm sure, was a whole lot worse.
But the danger is like, right, if you don't allow your brain to recover from one concussion, you suffer another one.
Yep.
Like, that is, I mean, it makes obvious medical sense, but, like, that is the exponential nature of that, that head trauma is there.
No question about it. You are the man. I appreciate your time, Will, and putting up with our technical issues. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. See you next week.
You got it.
This is the Adam Gold Show.